The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What about lordship salvation and works salvation? Are they in any way compatible with free grace theology? Thanks for joining us today. We are ending a week-long discussion about flexible and focused free grace, and we are delighted you are with us here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please come and find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. We have thousands of free articles that you can read and research, books, blogs, and videos, lots of helpful content on that website, faithalone.org. You can also find out about our online seminary. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Mike, I thought we'd wrap up our discussion of flexible versus focused free grace and talk a little bit about the two different views, understanding of positions like lordship salvation and work salvation. Let's start by defining it. What is lordship salvation?
Okay, well, lordship salvation is basically the view that it's not just enough to believe in Jesus for everlasting life, or that in order to be saved, one must make Jesus master or lord of one's life. And one must be willing to give up their sins or turn from their sins.
Okay. I've used the illustration of COP, C-O-P. It's legalistic, so remember COP. Commitment, you must commit your life to Christ.
Yeah.
O, obey, you must obey Christ. Yeah. And P, perseverance, you must persevere to the end of your life, either to prove you're saved or to win final salvation or whatever. Yeah. Now, the other view is called work salvation, and work salvation is kind of similar to lordship salvation, but how is it different?
Well, I would say work salvation is actually more honest. Lordship salvation would say, oh, faith is making this commitment. Faith is the obedience. I find work salvation people a little bit more honest. They call work a work, in that you basically, if you have to do these works in order to be saved, whatever it may be, church attendance or living a holy life or...
So they say faith alone isn't enough.
Yeah.
You have to have faith plus baptism, plus obedience, plus commitment, plus perseverance, all those things.
Yep.
And they may bring in all the sacraments. You know, you've got to have communion, you've got to be baptized, if you're Roman Catholic, there are seven sacraments, but... And so that's work salvation. Now, according to a lot of flexible free grace people, lordship, well, I would say almost all of them believe lordship salvation people are born again, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they would, quite a few of them would probably say that. But, you know, some of them wouldn't. But it's because their theology allows it. You don't have to believe in Jesus for everlasting life, and it's believing something else. Well, a lot of lordship people believe that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again. And they would also even agree with the statement, yes, your salvation is only by faith alone, but they call faith something different from, they don't mean the same meaning of faith that we do.
Right. You know? Now, of course, we would say that many of the people in lordship salvation are born again, but the reason we would say that is because at some point in the past, they believed the promise of everlasting life, and then when they went to Bible college or seminary, they were misled, and now they hold a different view. For example, one of the leading lordship salvation people, Dr. John MacArthur, from what I've heard from him and read about him, early on in his Christian experience, he believed simply by faith he was born again. And only when he studied the Puritans did he come to believe in lordship salvation. That's why his book, The Gospel According to Jesus, didn't come out until 1988, even though he'd been a pastor for several decades at that point. So it seems to me that there are people in lordship salvation who are born again, but not by believing lordship salvation, but flexible free grace, at least many of them would say, yes, lordship salvation, people are born again by believing lordship salvation because adding in commitment and obedience and perseverance doesn't deny the fact that they believe Jesus is God and that he died and rose again.
Yeah. Only God knows what everyone has believed throughout their entire lifetime.
Right.
And so I'm convinced that there are people who are saved who are in Roman Catholicism.
Sure.
You know, but they weren't saved by believing what Roman Catholicism teaches. They were saved by believing Jesus for everlasting life, even
right.
though if that was just only at some point in time and they later abandoned that belief.
Right. Yeah. In fact, a person doesn't have to believe the promise of everlasting life for so many weeks, months, or years before they're born again.
Right.
At the moment we believe that, we're born again.
Yeah.
There have been cases of people where they believe that, and then it's moments later when they lose it. In fact, I'm convinced in Lordship Salvation churches that sometimes happens. I've heard people like Dr. John MacArthur say something like, the Lord Jesus promises that whoever believes in him has everlasting life by faith apart from works. Yeah. And then he says, but if you truly believe, then you will produce a lifetime of good works. You will persevere in good works, and works are the measure of whether you're born again or not. What if a person believed that when he said that whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life and never going to perish? And then 10 seconds later, he says, but, and you come to believe this, your assurance just got stripped.
Right.
But a person could be born again by hearing a Lordship Salvation message when they are saying it simply by faith.
Right.
But the difference is the flexible free grace people say, no, no, you can be born again under the Lordship Salvation believing that it's commitment, obedience, and perseverance. And the same thing with work salvation.
Yeah.
Of course, some of them would disagree. Some of them would say, no, Roman Catholicism is a bridge too far, right?
Yeah. You know, they would say, well, if you're blatant about that, it's works are not. But it's all, it gets back to, what is the saving message? And for them, if it's some other truth other than believing Jesus for everlasting life, we can find examples of all these people who believe Jesus died on the cross, Jesus rose again, Jesus is God, but they're not believing in him for everlasting life. And so by their definition, those people should be saved because they believe the saving truth that's necessary to believe. But they're, you know, for us focus folks, they're not believing the essential saving truth.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how, gesseminary.org.
And so what it really comes down to is, how do we know what a person must believe in order to be born again? In other words, if we say that the Gospel of John is the only evangelistic book in the Bible, and it's the definitive word on what a person must believe, then it seems to me the only way we're going to come up with Lordship Salvation as a saving message or work salvation as a saving message is to distort the meaning of John 3:16 or John 5:24 or John 6:35, 37, 39, 40, 47, all
right.
The way through.
Right.
Because all the way through the book, it's whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life.
Right.
So you've got the guarantee that they're never going to perish, they're never going to hunger, they're never going to thirst, they're never going to die, they're never going to be cast out. And it seems to me, if you're in a flexible free grace position, then you're going to have to interpret John 3:16, John 5:24, etc., as saying you don't need to believe in the eternal life part.
Yeah.
That's just the result.
Yeah.
But if you're an unbiased person that's just coming to the scriptures, I don't see how you could come to that conclusion.
Yeah. And I think that's also why you'll see flexible free grace people, or at least some of their leading teachers, they downplay the role of the Gospel of John in evangelism.
Okay, bring this out. What are you talking about there?
You know, they'll tell you, like, oh, well, you know, look at John 13 to 17. It's really written for disciples. It's not written for the unbeliever. Or, you know, obviously, you know, instead of running to John, they like to go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's the message. That's the saving message. You find in 1 Corinthians, not in the Gospel of John. And, you know, even have some would say, like, oh, the gospel changed, right? The saving message changed from the time of the cross till after.
Right. Some of them will say the Gospel of John's an antiquated message.
Right, right. It's for Old Testament believers.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I've also seen some of them say, I think you call him Mr. B, that says that Matthew, Mark, and I think Mr. A also, both say that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are partially evangelistic in their purpose. And have evangelistic passages in them.
I'm not sure where that's quoted, but I know they definitely, you know, these are folks who would definitely like the Romans Road, you know?
Right.
And I'm sorry, but when I read Romans from beginning to end, these are definitely deep theological truths that I don't think an unbeliever would be able to grasp very easily. It's very different from the Gospel of John.
The only way you would get the basic message in Romans is Romans 3:21 to 4:24. In that section, okay, you can get the justification is by faith apart from works. Yeah. But it seems to me that you're right. Romans is a very difficult book, and it's really about deliverance from wrath. I believe that's the subtitle of Zane Hodges' commentary on Romans.
Yeah. Here's a quote I'm referring to the Gospel of John from Mr. A. "Thus, it is tenuous at best to declare categorically that the Gospel of John is the only New Testament book written for unbelievers, and therefore the final word in the New Testament on evangelism." But that just seems contrary to John 20, 30, 31.
Right.
It tells us explicitly that it's written for that purpose of evangelism.
But look, if you're coming from a flexible free grace position and you're wanting to say that a person is born again without believing the promise of everlasting life, you've got to do something with the Gospel of John.
Right.
You've got to somehow either eliminate it or make it less important.
Yeah, because you can't read the Gospel of John without getting the message that is believe in Jesus for everlasting life. You know, these signs were not written so that you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. These signs are written so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Well, in fact, his death and resurrection is one of the signs.
Signs, right.
Because he said in John 2, when they said, "What sign will you show us?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And John says he was talking about his own death and resurrection.
Right.
And so we do have the death, burial, and resurrection in the Gospel of John, but it's one of the signs.
Yeah.
And by the way, any of the signs can lead a person to faith.
Right.
In other words, if you believe he turned water into wine, that should be enough to convince you that he is the Christ, the Son of God, who guarantees everlasting life to those who believe in him.
Yeah. And for myself, it wasn't the sign of him rising from the dead. The two signs that led me to believe in him for everlasting life was him walking on water and feeding of the 5,000. Those were the only two signs I knew.
And there's no problem with believing based on the signs. I've heard people say, well, that's miracle faith. We're called to believe because of the signs.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And we're going to wrap it up here. But if you want to read more about flexible free grace and focused free grace, Mike has written an article right for our magazine that's at faithalone.org and also for our journal. Now, that may not go up for about a year, but he's got an article from our journal. And you do a conference message that's on YouTube, right?
Right. Yeah. Just do a search for Mike Lee, LII, and Focus Free Grace, and you'll find it.
Okay. And don't forget our YouTube channel. It's called YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. We've got lots of good, we do 2 or 3 videos every week. They're just like 5 to 10 minute videos. Well, thanks, Mike, for being here, and let's
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode is Acts 16:31, a great evangelistic verse. Join us and find out. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.